Amen, amen, amen. I see a lot of red, white, and blue here this morning. Glory to God. Looking good. Welcome to 4th of July weekend. Amen. And as John said, you know, Sunday we had Wednesday night we had our people here. We had, Kenyland just brought, I think, 12 all total, everybody. Then we had another 30 beyond that. And I don't know who they were, but we had a full house. And a lot bigger than this morning, actually. And I told Caleb, I said, do you know who those people were? He goes, oh, I don't know. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Huh? Beautiful red, white, and blue. Praise God. Timmy, stand up. Let him see you. Timmy's got on a whole red, white, and blue dress. Amen. Matthew Chambliss. Hey, let us see you, Matthew. Stand up there so everybody can see that hat. Glory to God. Got on some red, white, and blue here. Beautiful, beautiful. And, okay. This all straight up here? You sure? Huh? A belly button button. That's a little risque up here in front of everybody, you know. Okay, you mean the button. Yeah, that's not good. I went to buy, I buy from a local men's store here in town, and so I walked in there, and he was real, real busy. So I said, I'm looking for a patriotic shirt, and he knew exactly what I meant, not just a red, white, and blue shirt, but like you guys are wearing, some of you just. And so he took me over there, nice pullover shirt, you know, and it was a white, solid white, nice shirt like John's got on there, you know, I don't know, one of those brands. What do they call them, Matthew? No telling. Yeah, them nicer shirts. White, and it had red flags all over. Then it had blue surfboards, you know, I guess holidays. Red, white, and blue. But so I tried it on, and I said, you know, this thing is kind of sticks to you, whatever. And so we looked at the tag, and it was 15% spandex. And I said, homie, don't do spandex. I see the problem. I see the problem right off the bat here. And anyway, praise God. Hallelujah. Happy 4th of July. And then Tony's got on, it's not a red, white, and blue, but this is a beautiful shirt. You get this from Matt Gober's tape or Brother Copeland's table? Or somebody bless you. It says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. That's beautiful. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Huh? Yeah, really?
I like it.
You want to say anything about the men's breakfast tomorrow morning?
Or
not breakfast.
Dinner.
Come on up, say it then. That's okay. We're having a good time, right?
I just wanted to encourage everybody to come tomorrow night if you can. We have a great time. We don't just talk about guards, guns and cars and fishing and other things like that. You know, we actually get spiritual sometimes and pray about things. And, the last couple of months, I'll just give you a quick update for those guys of you that have been there. 2 months ago, we prayed for one of the waitresses there at the restaurant. Her grandson had brain surgery, and we prayed for him. And I think I gave you a report, you know, that he came through it great. And every time that lady sees me now, she is so excited. You know, she comes up and tells me, she says, oh, my grandson, she's doing so good. You know, she'll show me a picture of him on the phone. She even sent me a video of him the other day learning to walk again. And she is so excited. And that just touched her heart. Every time she sees me, she tells me, yeah, I appreciate you praying for my grandson so much, you know, so much. You know, we prayed in faith about it. And I believe that our prayers had something to do with that. And then last month we were there, and a friend of mine had just come in. And he turned right around, and he went back out. He had to leave. And a few minutes later, I got a text, and his niece had been involved in a real bad accident over on I-75. If you remember, there was a vehicle there, and it flipped end over end and went into oncoming traffic and got hit, and it was a terrible wreck. And they thought she was dead. And he texted me. He said, hey, I need you to pray for my niece, you know, Laura. And we did. You know, we prayed in faith right there. And long story short, you know, they came and got her, took her to the hospital, and he texted me later on at night and said, well, she's, you know, she's alive. That's the main thing. She's alive, and she's doing good, and she's recovering some severe injuries. But she went home. She went home. And I got pictures from him, you know, her doing rehab. And it just touches people's lives, you know, when you get together and you minister to people. And you know, you don't realize it, but it's an outreach. The Lord showed me that. It's an outreach. It's an outreach to people. We're actually touching people, you know, when we get together and meet and talk and pray about things. And I just wanted to encourage you and just let you know that, you know, things are happening. Monday night on the men's get together, you know. And come if you can. I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Tony. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Amen. Praise God. We're going to begin in Psalm 19. Psalm 19. We started a message last week. This is part two of making God's Word your final authority, making God's Word. The emphasis is on how do you actually do that. So we're talking about making God's Word your final authority. And Psalms 19, beginning with verse number 7 through 11, this is a beautiful passage. Listen carefully. It says, the law of the Lord, in other words, the Word of God, the counsel of God, the precepts of God, the instructions of God, the teachings of the Lord, the Word of the Lord, the law of the Lord is perfect. Everybody say perfect. Converting the soul. I like the voice translation. It says, turning lives around. The law of the Lord, the Word of God is perfect. Turning lives around. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them, his word, his counsel, his precepts, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Glory to God. If God's word is in reality your final authority, you will believe what it says above all other words. Can you say amen? Not only will you believe what it says above all other words, but you will conduct your life in accordance with what God says and in line with what the Bible teaches. And there are many, many scriptures that talk about the trustworthiness of God's word, about how God's word is sure and pure and right and true. And we looked at some of them last week, but you know, his word is the truth. And his teachings, his commands, his principles, his words are always right. I don't care what anybody else says. What God says about it is always right, about every subject you can think of. And they are always trustworthy and reliable and dependable. I like what King Solomon said. He said, you know, there has not failed one word of all his good promises which he promises. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You know, there's so many scriptures, but just we looked at a few last week. But Psalms 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. The Amplified Bible says, standing firm and unchangeable. Psalms 119:140 says, your word is pure, very pure. Pure here means it's been proven, it's been tested, it's been tried, and God's word always comes to pass. His word is always right. His word is always true and trustworthy. Amen. So God always, always, always keeps his word to us. He has never failed to keep any of his promises to anyone, ever. Amen. And his words are always correct. They're always true. They're always the right way to go. They're always the best way to go. No, you know, sometimes something is good, but it's not necessarily God. But God's way is always the best way. It's always the right way. And so any opinion, any philosophy, any voice, any ism, any political party, any thinking, any idea, any word that's contrary to God's word is wrong. Amen? And should not even be given one second of our attention. Glory to God. So Psalms 19, 7 through 11, you know, we read it from a couple of different translations. So let's read it from the Passion Translation this week. It says, God's word is perfect in every way, how it revives our souls. His laws lead us to truth, and his ways make us wise. His teachings make us joyful and radiant and radiate his light. His precepts so pure. His commands, how they challenge us to keep close to his heart. The revelation light of his word. I like that. The revelation light of his word. The revelation light of his word makes my spirit shine radiant. Living my life in the holy fear of God keeps me faithful, and to follow him keeps me full of life. Nothing he says ever needs to be changed. The rarest treasures of life are found in his truth. That's why I prize God's word like others prize the finest gold. Nothing brings the soul sweetness as seeking his living words. For they warn us, his servants, and keep us from following the wicked way. Given a lifetime guarantee. What's that lifetime guarantee? Great success to every obedient soul. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Now, because God's word is the truth, and because his promises always come to pass, because they always, because they never fail us, I should say, if we know and believe them, what should we do? We should find out what God's word says, and we should renew our minds to what God's word says and get those words deep into our hearts. Now, one of the things that we emphasized last week, we want to reemphasize it a little bit this week, is it's not just knowing what God's word says, but it's getting God's word deep into your heart. You must know what God's word says. If you don't know what God's word says, you can't take advantage of it. If you don't know what God's word says and really know it deep in your heart, you might mentally agree with it and say, yeah, I know that's in the Bible. But if it's not making a difference in your life, then you don't really have a revelation of it in your heart. So it's not just knowing it in your head. You got to know it in your heart. Can you say amen? Amen? Praise God. And so there are many, many scriptures that tell us how to get the word of God into our heart. But I particularly like Romans chapter 4. Verses 20 through 23. So let's look at that again. I'm going to get out an older Bible I had of a couple back, I think, because this is when I was heavily meditating in these scriptures when I was going through, you know, dealing with cancer. And so just in meditating in these scriptures, I just got, I mean, this is underlined, this is circled, this has asterisks, this has written things all over this page just from meditating in the truth of God's Word. That's what meditation will do for you. Amen. So it says, my son, give attention to my words. And so I've got written in this Bible, put my words first. Put them above all other words. Make them your final authority. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Submit to them. If God's word is your final authority. I'm sorry, what did I say? Don't turn to Romans because you won't find it. It's in Proverbs. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4:20. Make more sense to you? Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my word. Incline your ears to my sayings. In other words, listen carefully to my words. Glory to God. Close your... And the implication is, don't listen to anything else. Don't look at anything else. Don't put anything else before your eyes. Why should you put something that's not the truth before your eyes? Why? I mean, what purpose would there be? Well, I want to know the other side. There's only one side, God's side. His ways are right. His ways are pure. His ways are best. He's the creator. He's Almighty God. Why listen to anything else? I'll tell you, as we go along here, you're going to see what happens to people when they listen to other words. And why that's so very, very dangerous. Because I know there's people, not you guys, but there's people that go, man, this guy's trying to brainwash us. You should be brainwashed with the Word of God. Yeah. Nothing else. But you should be brain. You should wash your brain with the Word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I've got to close your attention and eyes and ears to everything but God's Word. Give it your See, my son, give attention to my words. In other words, give it your undivided attention. Don't listen to anything else. Glory to God. So he says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Listen carefully to them. Pay close attention to them. Lean in. Strain to make sure you understand them. Not just the religious traditions and ideas of men. That's not what he's talking about. We're talking about the truth, the Word of God. Not what mama and them believe. Not what the Baptists believe. Not what the Pentecostals believe. But what God says is true. Amen. Amen. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Glory to God. See, you can't just have a memory of the Word of God. You just can't say, well, I know what it says. I've agreed with that for 30 years. If it's not a deep revelation in your heart, it won't change your life and you won't really believe it. So you've got to get it into your heart. How do you get it into your heart? By doing this. Give attention to my words and all that means. Incline your ear to my sayings and all that means. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life, God's words. For they are life to those that find them, and health, cross-references, medicine, and medicine to all their flesh. So keep or guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it, out of your heart, spring the issues of life. Amen. I said amen. Verse 23 again. Keep your heart with all diligence. Don't just keep it, but do it diligently. For out of it spring the issues of life. Amen. For, in other words, because. Keep your heart with all diligence for, because. In other words, whatever is in your heart is going to come out. Good or bad. Whatever is in your heart is going to... How does something get in your heart? Because you give attention to it and you focus your eyes on it and you listen to what it says and then you put that before you, whatever it is, good or bad. So, of course, this is talking about putting God's word in there. So above all, one translation says, ERV, above all, be careful what you think because your thoughts control your life. And whatever you think on will get in your heart and then come out. Sproul translation says, with all watchfulness, guard your heart, for out of it flow the actions of your life. All your actions are coming out of your heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart comes good things. Out of the heart comes bad things. Other translations say, whatever gets in your heart, listen to this. One translation says, runs your life. Another one says, shapes your life. Another one says, controls everything you do. That's why you want to guard your heart with all diligence. Amen. And put God's word in there. So again, because God's word is the truth, because it's always right, because he never fails anybody, we should do what verses 20 through 21 tell us to do. Glory to God. So it's quite obvious that as Christ followers, got any Christ followers in here? As Christ followers, we should, God's word should be first place in our life and final authority. Amen. We should live by it and believe what God's word says above all other words. So how do you make? How do you make? Because that's what we're emphasizing. How do you make God's word first place and final authority in your life? Well, there are two main ways. Number one, and this is what we talked about last week. Number one, you have to walk by faith and not by sight. If you walk by faith and not by sight in everyday reality, then God's word is truly final authority in your life. See, we obtain the promises of God by faith, by walking by faith, not by sight. And sometimes it's not a matter of obtaining the promises, but you have to overcome the problems and tests and challenges of life. How do you do that? By walking by faith and not by sight. Glory to God. Can you say amen? And so we talked about that. But bottom line, we need to understand what Jesus has done for us, what he has promised us, and our victory over the devil and over the world and over the flesh is not automatically ours. You can live and die and never walk in the light of what belongs to you. And unfortunately, you know, some Christians walk in the light of the salvation that Jesus has provided, but that's about it in a lot of circles. Amen. And you can live and die because they don't know what belongs to them, or they've heard what belongs to them, but they've rejected it. So you have to know and believe. Everybody say, know and believe. Everybody say, know and believe. Not just know, but you got to know and believe what God's word says about any situation. Amen. And glory to God. And if we do, and you have to believe what it says instead of what your mind tells you, instead of what your senses tell you, instead of what your feelings tell you, instead of what your circumstances tell you, instead of what the Democrats tell you, instead of what the Republicans tell you, instead of what anybody tells you. You have to believe what God's word says above all other words. Amen. And when you do that, glory to God, then you're walking by faith and not by sight. And then God's word in reality will be first place and final authority in your lives. Glory to God. And then you'll overcome the challenges of life and the problems of life. And whatever needs to change will change because you believe God's word. I know, see, there are natural facts. It's a natural fact that, you know, that contradict God's word sometimes. But if you'll believe God's word, those natural facts will change. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Well, like I said again, it's not just knowing the word. I want to emphasize that. It's not just knowing the word. Certainly you must know what the Bible says. Certainly you must know what belongs to you. Certainly you must know what's promised you. You cannot take advantage of something you don't know about. But more than knowing it, it starts there. But you got to get it on the inside of you. When you get it on the inside of you, you believe it. When you get it on the inside of you, then it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Not just faith, but in every area, you know, you're going to do what God says. Amen. I heard this. This is an old story, but it's a true story. And the internet's filled with similar type stories. Now this goes back to England. It goes back to the days there's no welfare, there's no Social Security, and so forth. And here's a lady that she was in, you know, she was in what they call service. In other words, she worked for these people. She was like their maid and housekeeper, and for the husband and the wife. And as the years went by, because she worked for them, I guess, for something like 40 years, as the years went by, you know, the wife passed away, and then the man was older than she was and became elderly, and she became his caregiver. So she's like part of their family. I mean, she's their maid, she's their housekeeper, she's their nursemaid, she's their friend, and eventually the wife's caregiver and the husband's caregiver. Now, this family she worked with was extremely, extremely wealthy. And so eventually, you know, they took care of her and provided for her and gave her a good salary and so forth. But eventually the older man passed away. And now she's left on her own. Well, she's no spring chicken herself at this time. She's not, you know, she has another 25, 30 years to live. But you know, she's just kind of out in the cold because she doesn't work for them anymore. And she's, you know, like in her young 60s and can't get a job or anything. So the last part of her life until the day she died, she lived in poverty because she has no more salary. There's no welfare. There's no Social Security. And she just lived in a little shack of a house and, you know, just got by the best she could. Well, it came time for her to, you know, to go home to be with the Lord. And so some people came to visit her and see how she was doing and so forth. And she talked about her relationship with this family and working for that man and how she enjoyed that, and that was her life's work and so forth. And she said, you see this? And she showed them this document. She said, he gave this to me when he passed away. And she said, oh, I so cherish that. And they began to look at it and flip back and forth, and they thought, well, you know, this seems important. This seems legal. And they said, do you mind if we take that and show it to some people? And she said, well, it's really precious to me, but I guess it'll be okay. So they went and took it to the authorities and, you know, lawyers and bankers and so forth that knew this man and was familiar with his business. And they said, we've been looking for this for 20 years. This is this man's will. They said, we couldn't find it. He said, this man, when he passed away, he didn't have any family. He left everything he had to this little woman. And so she's been living in poverty, yet she was extremely wealthy. Legally, she was wealthy. Legally, she could have lived out her life with no wants. She could have lived out her life, as we say, in grand style. But it didn't do her any good because she didn't know it. You know, it was true, but she didn't know it. So it didn't do her any good. And that's exactly how a lot of Christians are. They don't know what belongs to them. And so that's why we're always trying to get people to read the will. You know, the New Testament. You ever heard of a last testament and will? This is the Old Testament will and the New Testament will. Read the covenant. Find out what belongs to you. Glory to God. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. Now you must meditate in that word and study that word and ponder that word and look at that word and read it over and over and over and over till it goes from your head to your heart, until it gets on the inside of you as a divine revelation. Glory to God. That's when it makes a difference in your life. That's when it'll change your life. Because sometimes what the Bible says will contradict what your mind says. Sometimes what the Bible says will contradict what the educated people of the world say. Sometimes what the Bible says will contradict the philosophies of this world. Sometimes what the Word of God will contradict what the doctor says. But if that Word is alive and real on the inside of you, you'll be fully persuaded and fully persuaded that what God's Word says is true and what everybody else says is not the truth. Then you'll stand on it and you'll not be moved by your feelings. You'll not be moved by your circumstances. You will walk by faith and not by sight. And when you do that, then in reality, God's Word is first place and final authority in your life. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Amen. But if you just mentally agree with it and fully accept God's word as being true, but don't get it in your heart and believe it in your heart, then when the pressure's on, you won't act on it. You will instead walk by your feelings and not by faith in God's word. Amen. Glory to God. Now. That's a little review I got caught up in. but you're all right. It's early and I won't keep you that long. The second main way, this is so important. The second main way, the other main way we make God's word final authority in our lives is by having what's called in the Bible the fear of the Lord. And let's look at Proverbs 1:7. So many scriptures, we'll just look at a few. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Verse number 29 in Proverbs chapter 1 says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, glory to God. It talks about people who hate knowledge because they reject knowledge. The reason they reject knowledge, the reason they listen to other words instead of God's word, is because they do not have the fear of the Lord. And it talks about all the negative things that happens as you read on because they rejected the true knowledge of God. And the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord will lengthen our days. Well, that's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 19:23 says, and as you read it from other translations, what is in essence saying? It leads to life, real life, abundant life. The fear of the Lord. Praise God. Proverbs 22:4 says, riches and honor and life, abundant life. Riches and honor and life and abundant life come by the fear of the Lord. So by the fear of the Lord, the knowledge starts there. Because you know, it doesn't end there, but if you have the fear of the Lord, you know who has all knowledge. If you have the fear of the Lord, you know who has all wisdom. So you go to Him and you find out what He says about it. And when you believe that, and when you have the fear of the Lord and act on His word, it's going to lengthen your days. It's going to cause you to have abundant life. It's going to cause you to miss out on all kind of heartache. It's going to lead to riches and honor and all the good things that God wants to give to His people. Can you say amen? Now, most people over the years, growing up in church, they begin to realize and understand the fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God because He's out to get you or hurt you. We're not afraid of God. No, it's usually defined of, the fear of the Lord is usually defined of reverence for God. That's the fear of the Lord. I like to take it a little deeper than that. This is the way I define the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a deep reverence and respect. It's deep reverence and respect and awe of God and His Word. Say it again. It is a deep reverence, respect, and awe of God's Word, which automatically leads to submission and obedience. See, if you really respect somebody and you really submit to somebody, you know, some spiritual leader, you have a respect for them and you're willing to submit to them, then you're going to do what they tell you to do. Out of that reverence and respect. Glory to God. Amen. And so if we really have this reverence and respect and awe of God, and we should, realizing, you know, even a trusted spiritual leader could be wrong at times, but God's never wrong. Remember, His word is pure. His word is truth. His word is light. His word is always is best for us. And so if we truly have this deep respect and awe of God, then we realize He has all the answers. Glory to God. And whatever He says about anything is always right. It's always correct. It's always true. It's always best for us. He is Almighty God. And He created us. And He loves us. And He knows what's right and pure and just and holy and good and best for us. So we always submit to what He says. Out of that reverence for Him. Listen, there's all kind of voices out there screaming at you. They have the truth. They know what's right. But apart from God and apart from what God's word says, they don't have truth. And if they say anything that contradicts God's word, then all it is leading people astray and leading people to hell and leading people to ruin and disaster. Romans 1:22 says, professing to be wise, they become fools. The word fools in the Greek there is moreno, from which we get our English word moron. Professing to be wise, they became morons. But if we stand in awe of God and we reverence God and we have a respect for God, then we accept His word, glory to God, about how we should live, about what attitudes we should have and shouldn't have, about our behavior, and that's what we live by, and that's truly first place and final authority in our life. So always, always tell people, just for shock value, and you've heard it, so it won't shock you, but I always tell people, I don't give a flip what you think about that scripture or this. I don't care what you think about this issue or that moral issue or about finances or about tithing or about child. I don't care what you think, because I don't care what I think. I only care what God thinks. What God says about it is the only thing that truly matters. Amen? I only care what God thinks and says about it. Now I want to show you a clip. Now if you're watching online, you won't see the clip. This clip is only like a minute and 20 seconds long, so don't go anywhere. You'll be able to hear it. Listen closely. This is from Pastor Robert Morris, you know. I want you to listen to this clip closely, and you stay with us online. Glory to God.
Here's what I want you to know. There were two trees in the midst of garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Of good and evil, prepositional phrase, so you could take that away. That just adds to the sentence, but there was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. Of good and evil, but the tree of knowledge. Now, this may shock you what I'm about to tell you. God never intended for you to know evil. Never. But here's my really shock. God never intended for you to know good. See, you don't think about this. You think, well, it's just the knowledge of the tree of evil. No, it was the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. He never intended for you to know good. He intended for you to know God. He never intended for you to know good. He intended for you to know God. He never wanted you to choose between good and evil. He wanted you just to know his voice and do what he said. That was all he wanted. He wanted you just to walk with him.
Can you say amen? See, it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't partake of that. What is that all about, the tree of knowledge of good and evil? It's about man becoming his own God. See, because somebody says, it's about man deciding what's right and deciding what's wrong. It's about man saying, okay, we're going to look at all the issues and we're going to hear from you and hear from you and hear from you and whatever popular nonsense is popular at the moment, whatever demonically inspired ism is presently popular, and you know, whether it's God is dead or the present day woke madness or you know, all those, this sounds good to us. It's about man deciding, okay, that sounds right. And then we're going to run things. We're going to run the government. We're going to run our homes. We're going to run our lives. We're going to run our businesses. We're going to run our finances. We're going to run our relationships and according to what we think is good and according to what we think is right and according to what we think is best. We're going to make up the rules. We're going to decide what's good. We're going to decide what's evil. We're going to decide what's the right thing to do. And that's why the world today and in the past and in the future, until Jesus comes back and sets things right, or unless you get saved and start living according to kingdom principles, that's why the world is full of extreme suffering and pain and agony and hatred, and incredible wickedness, because man said, I'm going to be my own God, and we're going to decide how to do things, instead of just listening to God and doing what God said, because they did not have the fear of the Lord. That's why, and this is just one example, but that's why in Canada, just recently, and in New York City, and in Seattle, as a part of Pride Month, they had a parade. And in probably other places, but I know about these because I read about them. Canada, Seattle, and New York City. In the middle of the day, the gay parade, the LGBTQ parade, grown men walk down the street naked in the daylight in front of small kids. And they were lauded by the world. They were lauded by politicians, some. They were celebrated and lauded by educated people, by famous people, by presidents and prime ministers. They're so wise. They're so intelligent. They're so reasoned. They're so woke. They're so right. They're so enlightened. That's mankind apart from God. That's beyond crazy. That's professing to be wise, you become a moron. I noticed even one famous gay person said, "Come on, guys. Naked people walking down the street in front of a little parade, in front of little kids. Come on, guys. That's you know, you guys are messed up." Even one of their own said that. It's beyond messed up. Somebody says, "Well, you know, we got to do both sides, and we decide what's right, and we decide what's wrong, apart from the Bible." See, no, that's self-rule. That's becoming your own God. That means you are your final authority. You don't care what some preacher says about you. You don't care what the Bible says. You don't care what God says. You don't care what anybody says. Bottom line, you do what you want to do, the way you want to do it, how you want to do it, and when you want to do it. In other words, I am God. The world, you know, the world, you have to understand, they don't realize that all their, any kind of antichrist philosophy, anti-Bible philosophy, anti-God philosophy is demonically inspired every single time. It did not come out of the minds of men. It came from demon spirits who sowed it into the minds of men, and they thought, oh, this is a good idea. And the devil, it's not always just perverse and wicked. It's men thinking. Sometimes it's men thinking sincerely, oh, this is what's best for families. This is what's best for marriages. This is what's best for society. See, they sincerely think that this will make the world a better place. But it doesn't make a better place if you don't do what God says, and if you don't do it God's way, it makes the world a horrible place. Amen. And again, all the horrific, nightmarish, hideous, nauseating, sickening, appalling, depraved abuses in this world, things that would curl your, you know, that are just unspeakable. All the suffering, all the injustices. Yes, I don't want there to be any injustice in the world. You overcome injustices by believing God's word and doing what God's word says and walking in love. All those injustices, all the heartaches, all the miseries, all the sorrows, all the abuses and wars in this world, or because man tries to rule himself and tries to rule his life and tries to rule his family and tries to rule society apart from God and apart from the way God said do it. The fear of the Lord says, I will live by what God says. I will believe like God says. My attitudes will be, if God says it's a wrong attitude, I don't care what the world says, I'm going to believe what God's word says. Even though the world tries to say that you're just brainwashed, you're illiterate, you're a hater. No, if what they say contradicts God's word, they are wrong. That what they're spewing out is not the truth, and it will not help mankind, and it will not help America, and it will not help society. I'm going to do what God's word says is right. I'm going to believe what God's word said is his, because what his word says is good. It is right, it is pure, it is best for me, and it is the truth. And I'm going to do that and live by what God's word says for me, my family, my church, my country, the church, and the world. Glory to God. And when you really do that, that's when his word is first place and final authority in your life. About every area of life. And everybody I know, whether it's Kenneth Hagin or Billy Graham or Kenneth Copeland, doesn't matter. Everybody, Jimmy, it doesn't matter. There came a time in their life, if you listen carefully to their testimony, where they had an epiphany and they said, this is what I will base my life on. I accept this. Like Billy Graham, people were pulling him a lot of different directions. But he said, boys, I'm making a stand. I may not understand everything, but I accept this is final authority in my life. This is what I will live by. This is what I will preach, and nothing else. Can you say amen? Let's stand up together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a life-changing epiphany too. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Billy Graham lived in a day when some of his closer friends became famous agnostics because they chose the opposite. If you know the story. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the Word of God? Aren't you glad that God always has our best interest at heart? That nothing He asks us to do, it's like tithing, you know, and giving. People get all like you're trying to take something from me. God's not trying to take anything from you. He's trying to give something to you. And He's saying, look, I know how it works. This is how it works. You do this and these good things will happen to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And his rules are not arbitrary, you know, I had a first grade teacher, and she told us, coming back from class, she told us, everybody walk on the grass. Well, even if, you know, everybody knows you're not supposed to walk on the grass. And they got signs there, do not walk on the grass. But she said, everybody walk on the grass. And then she said, now how many walked on the grass? Like, she just made up a rule. And then everybody that didn't walk on the grass, because you know, I'm conflicted on the inside. You're not supposed to walk on the grass. You're not supposed to walk on the grass. But everybody that didn't walk on the grass, they got in trouble. God doesn't do that. If He tells you not to do something, it's for your protection. It's like Ford Motor Company saying, don't pour sand in your gas can. It will not work. It will hurt your car. Don't put kerosene in there. Don't put syrup in there. It won't work. I'm just going to do it my way. You're going to tear your car up. That's what God's saying. Just do it my way. It's what's best. It's what's right. It's what's good. It'll bless you. It'll help you. Can you say amen? Amen. Say it out loud. Say, God's Word is first place and final authority in my life. I live by the Word. I rule by the Word. I believe the Word. I don't believe what my senses tell me. I don't believe what my feelings tell me. I believe what God's Word says. And I will purposely renew my mind thoroughly to the truth of God's Word and get it deep in my heart so that I might live by it in everyday reality. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You're never gonna let, never
hallelujah.
Gonna let me down.
That's our Jesus. That's our God.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Hallelujah.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. Oh no, you're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. 'Cause you are good.
Hallelujah. We'll say the Lord is good. The Lord is good. He's good all the time. All the time He's good. The Lord is good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you're renewing your mind to what God's Word says, you're automatically casting down wrong thoughts. When they come uninvited, and they will, I like the way Brother Copeland says. He said, make them a prisoner. Take them prisoner. But don't just sit around and wait for bad thoughts to come. Go ahead and take the time to get this deep in your heart. Moses says, you know, I've hid God's word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Not in my mind, but in my heart. Lord, when it gets in your heart, it's in the forefront of your thinking. You remember it. You believe it. You live by it. You choose it. Hallelujah. Until I made the decision, like you know, Brother Hagin said, he told the Lord, he said, from this day forward, anytime I see something in the Word of God and I see that it is your Word, you know, not just somebody else's thoughts, but when it is your Word and I read it in context and read it in covenant context, and see, this is the truth, then I commit, I make that commitment from that day forward, this day forward, I will live by that. So because he was on death's door, you know, he started in Matthew. They got over there in Matthew 6 and it says, don't worry. And he said, I can't do that. I'm a warrior. His mother was a warrior. He said, I was a champion warrior. He said, I can't do that. And he said, the Bible instantly became a closed book to me. He said, I wrestled with that for 3 or 4 months. And I finally said, okay, Lord, I can do what you tell me I can do. I refuse to worry from this day forward. Then the Bible opened back up to him again. I think that's the problem with some Christians. There's areas in their life that they close the door to God on, and the Bible has become a closed book to them. Revisit those areas and be willing to, but we should be willing to give up anything or to do anything that God asks us to do. Say, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing and obedient. And the willing and the obedient, they eat the good of the land, do they not? Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you're saved and you know it, lift both hands to heaven. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That's everybody. Praise God. We love you. God bless you. Don't forget, we don't have a service this Wednesday night. Enjoy your 4th of July holiday. And be blessed in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.